Well, on behalf of Liberty Baptist Church, I'd like to welcome all of you to this service here tonight. All of you that are in those assisted living facilities, I want you to know you're in our prayers here. You are not forgotten. We're constantly lifting you up in prayer, and I do pray that the Lord's keeping you safe and encouraged and gives you strength and health. And I just want you to know, as soon as the doors are opened back up, we look forward to that day, Lord willing, that we'll be back with you face to face. Today, I'd like to talk about waking up. We're going to read Romans chapter 13, starting in verse 11 down through 14. And there's 4 points I'd like to bring out on that, and that is, it is time to awake. It is time to get dressed. It is time to start walking, and it's time to stay focused. Especially in this day and age, you know, it is way past time. It's way past time. We shouldn't even need people to encourage us to do this. Everything the Lord has done for us should be encouragement enough. But I'm telling you, our country, our neighbors, our family and our friends need us to wake up. They need born-again believers to wake up. Before we get started, though, let's ask the Lord to bless the service. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity just to put your word on this DVD, Father. And it's just an amazing thing that you've allowed us to do. And Father, I pray for all these people that are listening and or watching here tonight that you speak to their hearts, Father, through your word. I pray that you give me the words to say that'll be a blessing to these people. I pray that you give them the strength and help they need at this time, Father. And I pray that if anyone watching or listening does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray that today will be the day of their salvation. Father, we just ask that you bless this service. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. In Romans chapter 13, starting in verse 11, the Apostle Paul says, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof." These four verses right here, boy, they just make you want to get up and serve the Lord. And I'm telling you, if we back up to verse 11, he starts right out and says, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep." We have too many Christians in this world that are just sleepwalking. They are just sleepwalking. You know what? We need to wake up and realize the day is at hand. The day is at hand. We need to wake up. We need to get dressed. We need to start walking. And we need to stay focused. Why do we have to be pushed to do those things? We ought to just be willing to do them for our Lord and Savior, the one who washed us with his own blood. We ought to be willing to do that for him. It's not asking for too much. The first thing is we need to wake up. We need to realize life is short. Life is short. We always have this mentality, "I'll do it tomorrow." But if we have that mentality, tomorrow never gets here. Because tomorrow I'm going to say, "I'll do it tomorrow." It just never gets here. Life is short. Let's look at James 4:14. We need to wake up because time is short. James 4:14 says right here, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow." Yeah, I don't know what's all going to happen tomorrow. "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." And that's very well said right there. Because a vapor, you can see it, but then quickly it's gone. And that's the same thing our life is. Doesn't that seem like just yesterday? Anybody that's watching this with any age behind them, seems like we can remember just the other day when we were little kids playing around the house, but now look at us now. Life is a vapor, and it goes by just like that, and it's time to wake up. It's time to, let's look at 1 Peter 1:24. 1 Peter 1:24 says, "For all flesh," that would be us, "is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away." That's us. We're going to wither right away. Just like that vapor we just got done looking at. It's going to be gone. Our life's going to be gone just like that, and it's time to wake up. Before we can wake up, we need to realize time is short, people. Time is short. Sometimes it's hard to force ourselves to get out of bed. It's the same way spiritually. Same way spiritually. We are told to wake up. Paul is writing this letter to a small group of Christians in Rome. Just a small group of Christians. And he's saying, wake up. Wake up. But it applies to us today. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 15:34. 1 Corinthians 15:34. It says, "Awake," there it is again, "awake to righteousness." That's what our country needs. That's what our neighbors need. That's what our family members who do not know Christ, that's what they need. They need you and I to wake to righteousness. "And sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God." That's the ones I just talking about. "I speak this to your shame." That's absolutely correct. It's to our shame, yours and mine, because we're not waking up and realizing the day is far spent. The day is far spent. Our life is short and it's going to be gone just like that. We'll get to heaven and we can think about our loved ones that are back here. And we're going to tell ourselves, "I should have awakened to righteousness. I should have woke up." Our family, friends, neighbors, and country need Christians to wake up and stand up for the Lord. The time is now, people. The time is now. Too many Christians are ashamed to be identified with Christ, so they're just sleepwalking through their life. But sleepwalking, spiritually speaking, through our life, is not helping our family and friends who do not know Christ. That's not helping them at all. As a matter of fact, it's keeping them from coming to Christ. Let's look at Romans 1:16. And Paul says this, right? He says he's not ashamed. Romans 1:16. This is Apostle Paul speaking again. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Do we tell anybody that in our lifetime? "I am not ashamed of Christ. I'm not ashamed of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." People are just ashamed. You know, that's why they stay in bed. That's what, spiritually speaking, that's why they stay sleeping. Because they're ashamed. We don't need that this day and age. Just the opposite. We need to wake up. Luke 9:26. Luke 9:26 says, "For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words," we're talking about Jesus here, "and his words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and in his Father's and of the holy angels." If we're going to live our lives ashamed of Christ, then Christ is going to be ashamed of us. Ashamed of us. One more. Let's go to Luke 6:46. Luke 6:46. You know, and right here, I threw this in here because, "And why call ye me Lord?" You know how many people out in the world today say they're Christians and they call him Lord. They call him Lord, but he says, and this is Jesus speaking, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" Why do we call him Lord, which is master, and we don't do what he says? He wants us to wake up. We need to wake up. It's time to wake up. It's past time to wake up. We will stand before God and give an account of our short time here on earth. You know, it's not like we're going to get to go to heaven and not give an account of what we've done. We still have to give an account of ourselves. Let's look at Romans 14, 12. We go through our day and we don't think of this, though. Romans 14, 12 says, so then every one of us, that'd be you and me, shall give an account of himself to God. Yeah. Are we going to say, well, I was just too ashamed of Christ. Well, I was too lazy to get out there and do anything for Christ. The scripture says, awake. It is high time to wake up. High time to wake up. That thought alone of having to answer to God, give an account of ourselves to God, ought to be enough to motivate us. Just that thought alone. When's the last time you went through your day and you thought of that, though? Too many Christians don't think of this before they're tempted to sin. There's something else that ought to motivate us, and that's the Lord's return. If you think about the Lord coming back, isn't that enough to make us wake up spiritually? But we don't think about it because we're too busy sleeping spiritually. The Lord's coming back. Matthew 24, 44. Matthew 24, 44. I'm in the wrong one. I'll go for the pastors here. Therefore, be ye also ready. See, that's the problem, though. When we're sleeping spiritually, we are not ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. The Son of Man cometh. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 15, 52. We don't think of this either. 1 Corinthians 15, 52. It says right here, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead in Christ, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. That's going to happen just like that. In the twinkling of an eye. But we're too busy sleeping spiritually. How about Matthew 24, 36? Matthew 24, 36 says right here, but of that day and hour knoweth no man. That's why we need to wake up, because we don't know when it's going to be. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father. Only God knows the appointed time. You know, if we go back to Romans chapter 13, and I think it's verse 11, Romans 13, 11. Well, let's go to verse 12, Pastor. It says, the night, this is what it's talking about right here. The Lord's return. The night is far spent. The night, the night is the period between when Christ rose and went back to heaven after his resurrection and when he comes again. That's the night. And it says right here, the night is far spent. So the time is almost gone. The day is at hand. The day when he returns. That's the day. See, that's what we're talking about here. There's something else that ought to motivate us, and that's the Lord's return. So it's time to wake up, number one. Number two, it's time to get dressed. It's time to get dressed. Let's look at, well, we're right here. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Some people get out of bed. You notice the last few years, I don't know what it is with pajamas, but people, you'll see them in the grocery store and any place else you go wearing pajamas. I've never seen that until a couple, 3 years ago. People are waking up out of bed, but they're not getting dressed. But speaking spiritually, we need to wake up and get dressed. We need to wake up and get dressed. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10. You know, the Lord has some armor for us. And that's what we need to put on after we wake up. You know, we head out of the house in the morning and we go to wherever it is we're going throughout the day, and we leave our armor at home. Why is that? Because we're just sleepwalking through this life. We are just sleepwalking through this life. We're starting in verse 10. We're talking about the armor of God, and I really would like to read down through verse 20. So we'll read these 10 verses here. Finally, my brethren, see, we're talking about saved people here, truly born again people. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. That's twice we've read the word whole. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now, I'll read verse 18 in a minute, but right there, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. How many of us take that with us either literally every day, or we take it with us up here? How many of us do that? That's part of our armor, but we leave the house without it. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all the perseverance and supplications for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly. See, you can do that when you have the armor on, when you get dressed. We can open our mouths boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You see, you can't accomplish that stuff if you don't get dressed. The Lord has armor for us to put on before we ever leave the house. Before we ever leave the house, but too many people don't put it on. And it's not going to do you any good to put part of it on. You need all the... That's why we read twice the whole armor of God. We need to put all the armor on. You know, you think of firefighters. When they're running into a building that's on fire or a house that's on fire, They don't only put on part of their uniform. What good's it going to do them to put on their air mask and their tanks and their boots if they leave their fireproof jacket off, or anything else they might leave off? It's not going to do any good. They got to put the whole uniform on. I think of soldiers going out into war. What good's it going to do them if they have all this protective gear on and they leave their rifle back in the barracks? It's part of their uniform. They need to take it with them. Well, it's no different than for us Christians. But I'm telling you, too many people are sleepwalking through their life here, and they're not waking up, and they're not putting on the armor of God. They're not ready to go out and tell someone about Christ. They're just not ready, and it's high time that we do that. It's high time that we do that. When we put on the whole, you know, one of these times too, maybe I'll preach on the armor of God and the individual pieces, but we just don't have time today. But I want you to realize that the Lord has armor for us to put on, and he wants us to put it all on so we can be of use for him. When we put on the whole armor of God, then we are ready to shine the light of Christ into people's dark lives. When we have that armor on, after we wake up, Let's look at Colossians chapter 1, 12 and 13. Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 12, it says, "Given thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness." That's right. Every one of us that know Jesus Christ as our Savior, we're in darkness at one time. But he brought us out of that darkness and into his light, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. You know, we need to put on the armor. We need to wake up. We need to put on the armor of God so we can bring others that are in that darkness that we used to be in, and we can bring them into the light of Christ. We can't do that unless we wake up and get dressed. Let's look at Ephesians 5:8. Matter of fact, we had this verse in church last night. Ephesians 5:8. It says right here, "For ye were sometimes darkness." That's us. We used to be in darkness. "But now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Walk, you know, that's what our neighbors and our family and our friends and our country and the world needs to see. They need to see us walking in the light of Christ. But too many people are ashamed. Too many people are just spiritually sleepwalking. Far too many Christians are running around in their spiritual pajamas. Far too many. Still practicing the old habits and patterns of their old life, which we've been delivered from. Why is that? Why do we continually want to go back? I know the world wants to pull us in. I know Satan wants to pull us in. I know this flesh wants to go back. But Christ saved us from that. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. You know, if we had more people that would wake up spiritually and realize this verse right here. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." All things are become new. You know, once we have the desire to see our family and our friends and our neighbors come to see Christ, once we have that desire, we're going to realize those old things are gone. The Lord has taken those away from us, and it's only our desire to go back to them. That's why we go back. But he says, "You're a new creature. You're a new creature that should put on the armor of God and be able to draw people out of their darkness to the light of Christ." You know, the armor of God, that's some serious work clothes for serious people. That's the problem also right there. People don't take it seriously. They don't take it seriously. What's not to take seriously? You know, Christ looked down at one time and he seen me as just a sinner. I had nothing to offer him. But he said, "I love him and I'm going to go to the cross for him and I'm going to pay for those sins." And he did the exact same thing for you, and he did it for our family and our friends and our neighbors. He did it for everyone. You know, we all know John 3:16, right? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." What's not to take seriously? There's enough foolishness in this world today. You know, it's time to wake up. It's time to get dressed. Now what do we do? So we're awake spiritually. We've put on the armor of God. Now what are we going to do? It's time to start walking. It's time to start walking. Walking is how we live our daily lives. It's how we live our daily lives. In Romans 13:13, Paul says we are not to walk this way anymore. We're not to walk in that way, in that darkness that we were saved out of. We're not to walk that way anymore. Remember, we're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Let's look at Well, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 5. I just have to read this whole thing to you. Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 1, and we're going to read down through 21. This, what we're about ready to read, is the way of a believer. Okay? It's the way of a believer. Now, see if this lines up with your life or not. Starting in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 down through 21. It says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk," there it is right there. Now we got to wake up, we got to get dressed, and we got to start walking. And he says right here, "And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness," there it is, "but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake," there it is again, "Awake, thou that sleepest." That would be a lot of Christians in this world today. "And arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk," that's what we're talking about here, how we live our lives, "see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's exactly how we ought to live our lives. Now, I ask you, how many Christians do you know that live their lives like that? You see what the problem is here? It's time to wake up. It's time to realize the day is short. Time is running out, folks. Maybe we only have a few hours. I don't know. Maybe we have years. I really don't know. But neither do you. Only God the Father knows. But we're too busy sleepwalking through this life of ours. It's time for believers to start living for the Lord. It's past time for believers to start living for the Lord. Let's look at Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Paul says here, "I beseech you therefore, brethren," talking about the saved people here, "by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice." A living sacrifice? That he doesn't want a dead sacrifice. He doesn't want a lazy sacrifice. He wants a living sacrifice. The Lord's looking for somebody that he can use. Somebody that he can use. "That ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable," that's just our reasonable service. It's not asking too much. Verse 2, it says, and be not conformed to this world. That's another issue right there. Way too many Christians are conformed to this world. You can't even tell they're Christians. Do people know you're a Christian? Do they know I'm a Christian? But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What's the will of God for your life? What do you mean you don't know? That's the problem. Too many people don't know because they're not interested in finding out, because they're too busy sleepwalking through this life. They are not waking up. They don't realize what's going on around them. Let's look at James chapter 2. James chapter 2, and I think, let's start in verse 9. We'll start in verse 9 and we'll see how far we go here. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. No, I want 1 Peter. Oh, I said James, didn't I? Okay, let me get to James. I'll get it straight, people. Okay. Let's go to verse 18, Pastor. Okay. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Now, it's time to wake up. It's time to get dressed, and it's time to start walking. What are our works? Are we showing people our faith by the way we walk through this life? Are we showing them our faith? It says right here, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Make no mistake about it. Those works are not what's going to get you saved. Okay? We can go to Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. And prove that out. But we ain't got time. I just want you to understand, once we're saved, we want to labor for Him. That's where the works come in. Not to get us saved. Not to get us saved. We need to live a life that is separate from the lost people. You know, I said this earlier, I think. Too many times you can't tell who's a Christian and who's not out there, because they're not Christians are not living a life that's separated from the darkness. We need to be separated. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. You know, all this right here in Romans chapter 13, verses 11, we're going to be in verse 14, Pastor. It's all designed to get us up, get us going, serving the Lord. When we're serving the Lord, people are going to know we're Christians. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 down through 18. And it says right here, we're talking about we need to be separated from this world. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? It doesn't. And what communion hath light with darkness? It doesn't. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? He doesn't. Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Verse 16, it says, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them. Boy, we need to get a hold of that right there. You know, all the born-again believers need to come out from among the unbelievers. Be separate. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. We need to live a separated life. We need to live a separated life. It's time to wake up, it's time to get dressed, and it's time to start walking. And number four, it's time to keep focused. Too many people are losing their focus. We'll go back to Romans chapter 13, verse 14. And it says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. We are not to walk in our old behavioral patterns any longer, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Too many Christians fulfill the lust. That's the problem. Notice with me Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and 27. It says, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Isn't that what we just read in Romans chapter 11, verse 14? Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that should have happened right there. Dead to our old selves, alive to Christ when we were baptized. Again, I'm going to point out, water baptism does not save you. It does not save you. Baptism by the Holy Spirit, that saves you. That saves you. We need to stay focused like men and women of our uniform. We need to trust that Jesus himself dwells within us through the Holy Spirit. And then we are to go forth in his world, with his power, trusting him to live his life through us. You know, that's his desire. He wants to live his life through us. Now, is that happening? Does anybody out there see Jesus Christ when they look at me and you? Isn't that the whole point? That's what it should all be about, but we're too busy sleeping, spiritually speaking. We're too busy not putting our uniform on and going to work for the Lord. We're too busy not walking as children of light when we should be. And we're too busy not staying focused on Christ. We need to stay focused on Christ. Colossians 3:2. Colossians 3:2. It says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Too many times we look around and we say, oh, I want that, and I want this, and I want the other thing. Because we have our affection set on things of this earth. It's all going to burn up, folks. Christ liveth forever. We need to stay focused on him and set our affections on him. Proverbs 4:25. Proverbs 4:25. It says right here, let thine eyes look right on. We're too busy looking around. And let thine eyelids look straight before thee. We need to stay focused. Focused on what Christ would have us to do. I think we're done here, Pastor. Let's go back to Romans 13. I want to read those four verses again, starting in verse 11. Okay, so Paul's seen a problem with these Christians in Rome. Okay, and he's writing them a letter. This is what he had to say to them, but it applies to you and me today. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. We need to wake up, we need to get dressed, we need to start walking, and we need to stay focused. Can we do that for the Lord after all he's done for us? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for this day and this opportunity, Father. I just thank you for your word and how you preserved it, Father, through all these years. And just thank you that you promise it, that you will continue to preserve it. Father, I pray for these people that might have heard or listened to this DVD tonight, that your words would have an impact in their lives, Father. Help us to realize that the time is short. We don't have a lot of time, Father. You're coming back. And when you do come back, you're going to take us all home to be with you, and those who do not know you are going to be left behind. Help us to realize that and live our lives accordingly, Father, knowing that you desire to use us to bring those folks out of darkness because you love them, because you died for them, because you paid for their sins, Father. Help us to see the seriousness of the matter. Father, I pray that you just continue to bless and thank you for your goodness and your mercy to us. Father, we're so undeserving, but we thank you for it. Father, help us to wake up spiritually as the days and be ready to labor for you as a living sacrifice in the days ahead. And we'll thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.